There's one kind of in-person get-together most of us take part in every week, whether we like it or not. The staff meeting.
I wonder if I have too much. Oh, we'll find out. Yeah. Okay. Sorry,
recently, someone sneaky turned the mic on ours.
I have a suggestion that none of y'all will like.
Yeah, great.
I think that I should just clandestinely record you at a meeting of my choosing without telling you when I'm recording.
But the
I can see to it that one of my spies gets in here with a microphone.
That sounds scary, right?
Like our meeting.
We do laugh a lot in our meetings, so we get that right. But we're also sarcastic, argumentative, and nitpicky.
So I have two different. I actually have a sort of fairly strong opinion about this.
Just go ahead and share.
I think the idea of this was, this is the TT book alternative to light summer trashy reading.
I don't like calling any books trashy. Well,
we waste an unbelievable amount of time debating trivialities.
I don't get the whole notion of beach reading.
I think that sounds like a good show.
I agree.
And I would call them difficult summer beach books.
What?
Sometimes we sound downright clueless.
So when do we cut the voice tracks? I guess I need a calendar, I'll say.
Are we all here on the 24th?
I'm just looking at the dates.
That's a Monday?
I'm not here.
Yeah, hold on.
That's a bad idea.
That's a typical TT Book staff meeting. I hope yours are better. But if not, here's someone to help.
If you just talk to people, you hear how often they say, oh my gosh, I went to a terrible meeting today. I sat through so many meetings. I had no time to get my work done because all I did was spend time in meetings. They permeate all aspects of work. And even the ones that we go to that maybe work gets done, they don't necessarily feel good while you're there.
Mamie Canfor-Stewart spends a lot of time in meetings, usually because she's been hired to try to improve them. She runs a training firm called Meteor and hosts the Modern Manager podcast. And Mamie says doing meetings wrong is not just a hassle. It drains companies of money and time. And it's a multi-billion dollar problem. Employees are now averaging about 6 hours of meetings a week, and managers up to 23 hours. One study estimates a third of those meetings are unnecessary. Just think about that. So this is purely anecdotal, but in my workplace, it seems like the number of meetings has just steadily increased over the last couple of decades, to the point that we don't even have enough conference rooms anymore. I mean, some of our top managers, I think all they do is go to meetings. Is this true elsewhere? I mean, are we meeting more?
I think anecdotally, you're on the right path for a couple of reasons. First, the complexity of work has grown over the past decade, right? Work moves faster. There are more people involved. We are trying to be more networked in our organization. So meetings are a critical place where people come together to do that kind of work. So the fact that the work itself is evolving means that we need more meetings to address it. And as we have more and more remote teams and doing more client work or other things where people aren't co-located anymore, meetings become kind of a default mode for connecting because we're all so overwhelmed with email, we can't rely on it anymore. So we have more meetings to make up for the fact that we don't have other good communication methods.
So we're all spending more and more time in all of these meetings. And is it my imagination or does it seem like the purpose of meetings is getting muddier and muddier? I mean, sometimes it seems like we're meeting to meet.
That is definitely true. There are way too many meetings on the calendar with no clear purpose. And I've talked to team leaders who have inherited teams where they're told, we have our weekly team meetings on Mondays, and the new team leader comes in and they just take over those weekly team meetings on Mondays. And then I talk to them after a couple of months and they say, these meetings are terrible. I don't know why we're having them. And I say, you're the team leader. Why, why are you having them? Think about what you need to get out of a team meeting. And if this design isn't working, change the design. And if you don't need it, cancel it.
I'm going to tell you a secret, which obviously is not a secret since I'm saying it on public radio, but our little tiny team, on to the best of our knowledge, they're just 7 of us. When the EP, Steve, is gone, we usually cancel the staff meeting.
That is a surprisingly common thing that happens too, because a lot of team meetings are really designed for the team leader who feels like they need to be knowing what's going on with all the different people. They need to bring the team together so there's at least one time where everybody's kind of in the same room together for good team building and morale and connection. But then when that team leader isn't there, the rest of the team doesn't have those same needs. They don't feel the need to get into a room just to be together, and they don't often care about what the other people are working on. And if they did care, there are other ways that they will communicate that.
I think meetings can go badly in like a million ways, probably, but can we just compare a few pet peeves? I'll tell you what I hate, if you tell me what you hate.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I hate PowerPoint presentations, especially where the presenter stands there and reads what we can all see on the screen.
Yes. Can I give a little mathematical model on that one?
Yeah.
So if you have 10 people coming to your meeting, and that's a big meeting, but if you had 10 people, just make the math easy. If everyone were going to speak equally, you would get 6 minutes per person. Now, if you take those same 10 people and you spend the first half an hour presenting your slide deck that everyone could have read earlier, or could read in 5 minutes if you just gave it to them at the meeting, you have now gone from 6 minutes of people's thinking to 3 minutes of people's thinking. Why are you taking an hour to get 3 minutes of somebody's thinking? That is the biggest waste.
Yep. Why do you think we're so bad at something we do all the time?
Yeah, well, the problem with meetings is we are expected to know how to do them. And so admitting that you don't is like admitting that you don't know how to do your job, especially as a manager, because so much of your job is having meetings. We're not taught this. Nowhere in life are we taught how to gather people. Even in business school, it should be a course, how to have meetings, how to use meetings to get work done.
Isn't it? I guess I thought that's what people learn in business school.
I wish I went to business school. I did not learn that.
Huh. What's at stake when an organization isn't doing meetings well?
So much is at stake. When you walk out of a meeting and you don't feel excited to go about your day, that just influences all the other work that you're going to get done. So there's a whole element of lost productivity that happens. Then there's the human toll, right? If people don't feel good about going to work because they're not excited to go sit through a whole day of meetings, or they know they're going to have to stay late to make up all the tasks they didn't have time for, that takes a toll on your workforce. People will eventually leave because they don't want to put up with it anymore. There's a lack of communication that happens, right? If you're relying on meetings for too many things, then people who aren't in the meetings don't know what's going on, and you create this culture of FOMO. Then you make more people want to come to the meetings, which only leads to more unproductive meetings that they don't really need to be in, but they want to be there because they think that's the place to be. So it becomes this negative spiral that impacts and permeates all aspects of the organization.
You also are big on people having a checklist before you even have a meeting. Can you run us through that?
Sure. We often jump to meetings as the next step. So I'm facing a problem. Let's have a meeting. Wrong approach. I'm facing a problem. Okay, let me figure out what I need. Am I clear about the problem? Yes. Okay. Do I need other people to help me solve it? Do I need them together all at the same time? Or can I share something with a bunch of people individually and just get their input? So that's kind of the first part around, do you have a meeting or not? But then the second part is when you have a meeting, once the meeting is scheduled, a meeting doesn't just start when the clock hits that time. The meeting starts before. There's actually a cycle. There's the before, during, and after of every meeting. And the before has a whole bunch of preparation that you need to do as the meeting leader and that the participants can do so that everybody walks in, right? If everybody's owning the success of the meeting, everybody needs to walk in prepared, not just the meeting leader.
So can I ask you about my own little tiny, to the best of our knowledge, staff? Because we have what I think of as extremely talkative meetings. We're in radio. But often we have these meetings, they're really great. We generate 100 ideas and we leave and it's like, now what?
Yeah, so now we're talking about the end of the meeting, right? So it's very easy to answer the question, why? Why are we having this meeting? To review last quarter's performance, to check in on the project status. But at the end of the meeting, how will you know it's successful? What will we achieve after having reviewed the results or checked in on something? It's the noun. So at the end of the meeting, we will have a list of changes to next quarter's plan. At the end of the meeting, we will have 3 new ideas to experiment with on our social media platform.
So when it all goes well, when you've developed purposeful, joyful meetings, what do you think we get by meeting in person that we don't in other ways?
There's nothing that substitutes for a face-to-face conversation. We get to see the full expression of someone's body language and their tone of voice and look them in the eye. Right? Those things cannot be replicated. Seeing somebody on a tiny video screen or even a big video screen, it's just not the same. You can't connect in the same human way as you can when you're sitting face-to-face with someone.
Good advice. Thank you so much for talking today.
Sure. Can I just want to throw this out there. One thing we didn't talk about was meeting wrap-ups and how to end your meeting strong. That's often what I get asked about.
Well, obviously, I'm not good at that since I just ended without wrapping up. So. Yes. No, tell me about the end of a meeting.
Ending your meeting is just as important as how you start it. Because when people dissipate out of a meeting, right, you're running right up to the deadline of time and people are like, oh, I have another meeting to go to, you know, and they run out the door. That is very unsatisfying. It does not feel like the conversation was productive, even if it was a great conversation. So using the last 5 minutes and reserving them for a wrap-up can really change the quality of the meeting experience and help you articulate the outcomes of that meeting. And the easiest way to start doing a wrap-up is to just ask the group, what did we decide in this meeting? What are our decisions that we made? What are the next steps and who's going to do what? And who's going to do what by when, even better? And is there any other information that we need to share with people? Type that up real time as people are going around in the circle and then hit send on the email right then and there so there's no extra work to do. And when you do that, it gives people that sense of closure.
That's really nice. This is going to seem strange, but it sort of reminds me of a church service. You know, by the time you're done and there's the last prayer and the last song and then you walk out, there is a feeling of like, yeah, closure. We did something.
Exactly.
Mamie Canfort Stewart's guide to better meetings is called Momentum. She also hosts the Modern Manager podcast.